Hi, hello, and welcome to this episode of The Lives and Styles of Old Hollywood. Margaret Clark was one of the first true movie stars, a rival to Mary Pickford, and a cultural icon whose innocent childlike charm captured the imagination of an entire generation. She was the fairy princess of the silent screen, and a woman whose legacy, though nearly forgotten, deserves a place among cinema's immortals. So Helen Margaret Clark was born on February the 22nd in 1883 in Avondale, Ohio, just outside of Cincinnati. The daughter of a merchant family, Clark lost both her parents by the time she was a teenager. Her mother died when she was 10 years old, and her father only 3 years later. Clark had two older siblings, brother Clifton and sister Cora. Upon the death of their parents, Cora was appointed Marguerite's legal guardian and raised her. Clark attended independent college preparatory school Ursuline Academy for 4 years and finished school at age 16. Then and there, she decided to pursue a career in acting and started out with the Strakosch Opera Company in 1899. 1 year later, she already made her Broadway debut and worked across various venues. She became a well-known stage actress, particularly in roles that showcased her petite and dainty charm at only 4'10". Her hallmark would become fantasy stories in which she starred as the forever young and innocent heroine. Plays ranged from 1905's Happy Land and 1909's The Beauty Spot to 1910's The Wishing Ring under the direction of Cecil B. DeMille and Baby Mine to 1912's Anatole opposite John Barrymore and one of Clark's most famous roles, the 1912 stage adaptation of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. That kind of talent, of course, did not go unnoticed. Adolf Zukor signed Clark to his famous Players Film Company in 1914, which would later become Paramount Pictures. Clark was 31 years old at that time, a rather late time for any actress to start out in the movie business, but Margaret Clark had a little girl look just like Mary Pickford that made her look decades younger than she actually was. Her first film, the Alan Dwan-directed 1914 feature Wildflower, was an instant success. Audiences fell in love with her childlike innocence and radiant screen presence, and it was reported that she conquers her audience in an instant. The most important film role of Clark's career was the movie adaptation of Snow White in 1916. This movie informed her movie persona more than any of her other works. Her portrayal of Snow White predated and arguably inspired Disney's 1937 version. In fact, Clark's version was the first feature-length film adaptation of the Brothers Grimm tale, and her image shaped how audiences would visualize the character for decades to come. Clark followed this immense success up with starring roles in 1918's Uncle Tom's Cabin, 1919's Come Out of the Kitchen, and 1920's Easy to Get. This one was the last of the 39 movies she made with famous Players Lasky. Her last movie, and the only one she did not make with a Zukor-led studio, was Scrambled Wives, which she produced through her own production company for First National Pictures Distribution. As she was one of the most popular actresses at that time, box office success was ensured. Nevertheless, she officially retired from the industry right after that movie at age 38 to be with her husband at their New Orleans estate. Clark was Mary Pickford's primary box office rival during that time at Famous Players Lasky, as two of the major Hollywood stars of the silent film era. A 1918 Motion Picture Magazine poll showed a 53% to 47% polling result amongst moviegoers. Clark was also the second highest paid actress in the world, just behind Pickford. Thus, their so-called rivalry was a professional one rather than personal, but Hollywood loved to stoke the drama. While Pickford had a more girl-next-door image, Clark embodied fantasy, magic, and emotional delicacy. Legendary Hollywood producer Samuel Goldwyn wrote in his 1923 memoir Behind the Screen that Pickford long outlasted her so-called rival Clark because of Pickford's absorbing passion for work and her capability to portray fundamental human emotions in simple, direct, and poignant a manner which goes directly to the heart. But what set Clark apart was her ethereal style. She often played young girls or spirited ingenues, roles made believable by her small stature and glowing innocence. Clark was petite, just under 5 feet tall, with delicate features and large expressive eyes. In a time when women's independence was just beginning to enter the public conversation, when they were pushing for the vote and seeking more and more autonomy, Clark offered a comforting ideal of purity, innocence, sweetness, and traditional femininity. Thus, Clark helped define an entire generation of female screen personas. Her style was marked by flowing Edwardian costumes, soft ringlets, and simple hairstyles. Her expressions were delicate and her movements graceful, with a stage-trained elegance rarely seen in silent film actors back then. Clark's angelic image dominated early film merchandising. She was featured on postcards, sheet music, and children's books. For a time, Margaret Clark dolls were sold across America. She was a true beauty and fashion icon. Women across the country imitated her soft curls, lace-trimmed dresses, and porcelain complexion. The Margaret Clark look became a beauty standard of the mid-1910s. Picturegoer magazine critic Alice Hall wrote in 1921 that 34-year-old Clark, near the end of her film career, seems to have discovered the secret of perpetual youth, and with it, moreover, to have combined the grace and charm which the wisdom of experience alone can bring. When it comes to the private life of Margaret Clark, she was married just once. In 1918, at the height of her fame, 35-year-old Margaret Clark married Harry Palmerston Williams, a wealthy New Orleans businessman and aviation pioneer, who co-owned the Bedell Williams Air Service Corporation. This corporation offered the first passenger service from New Orleans to Houston as the first commercial airline, had its own postal air service, and operated a flying school. After their marriage, Clark gradually withdrew from acting, officially retiring from film in 1921 at the age of 38 to live with her husband at their 14,000-acre estate in Louisiana. The couple were prominent socialites in New Orleans during their marriage, with Clark serving as acting tzaritza for the court at the Duke of Alexis tableau ball for Mardi Gras in 1924. Unfortunately, Williams tragically died after 18 years of marriage in May 1936 in an airplane crash. As not only Williams, but also the two Waddell brothers had died in recent air crashes, Margaret Clark now owned the company and sold the assets in 1937 to Eastern Airlines. Clark never remarried, but spent her later years in New York living together with her older sister, Cora. In September 1940, she entered the Leroy Sanatorium and passed away there on September the 25th, 1940, from pneumonia at the age of only 57. She was subsequently cremated and buried alongside her husband in Metairie Cemetery in New Orleans. Margaret Clark's cultural influence cannot be overstated. She served as a bridge between stage and screen in the early days of the movies and thus helped legitimize films as a serious artistic medium. She also had a foundational influence on Disney princess culture through her role in Snow White, which only now, some 100 years later, slowly starts to shift. This was largely based on her role of femininity during her time. Poised, gentle, expressive, and quietly powerful, she truly formed the screen archetype of the innocent heroine. Today, film scholars see Clark as a lost icon, one who should be studied alongside Mary Pickford, Lillian Gish, and Gloria Swanson. The rediscovery of her surviving works, such as Snow White, has led to a small but meaningful renaissance of appreciation. Tragically, only a handful of her nearly 40 films survive today. So, what are the life lessons we can learn from Margaret Clark? First, age is just a number. Clark went into the movie business at age 31, an age today considered retirement age for movie acting. But Clark was different. She had different talents, different looks, and a totally different image. And thus it worked. Age truly is just a number, no matter who you are. What is it that you want to do, that you're good at, that you really can excel at, that you are intrinsically drawn to? There's no fixed rule set on how to live your life. You are the writer and the protagonist of your life story. Don't let anybody, especially the beauty industry, fool you into thinking you are too old or too young or too anything for the things you want to do. Life lesson number two, know your strengths and follow your instincts. Clark always did what she deemed the right thing to do, despite people telling her otherwise. She went to the stage. She went into the very young movie business, despite being an acclaimed theater actress at that time. She married despite being advised not to, with her advisors fearing she would alienate her audience. She retired when she was well in demand and could have continued to charm millions in earning just as much. But you need to know yourself deeply, intimately, and better than anything else in the whole wild world. Then you decide for yourself. Then the world is your oyster. Then your life is yours to create. And Margaret Clark cracked that code. You can defy the odds, silence the critics, and become the best and most successful version of yourself, but only if you know yourself, your strengths, your weaknesses, your energy, your karma, your individual blueprint. And then it's as easy to follow your instincts as it is to pick up flowers or to sip coffee. If you know, you know. And the last life lesson, know when to step back. Clark retired at her peak, on her own terms. She did not wait until her star faded into oblivion. To me, it looks like she wanted to prove to herself that she was capable of playing the movie game just as well as all the men in the business when producing her movie Shattered Wives. And then she was satisfied with the result and retired at peace. So never get caught up in success and celebration without taking stock of your own life and deciding what is important to you. Despite success being absolutely wonderful, always stay connected with your values, with what you want in life. And for Clark, it was spending as much time together with her husband as possible. And so she did exactly this. It was not because of necessity, but because of personal priorities. So reflect, what are yours? This concludes this episode. I hope you loved it. I, of course, tremendously enjoyed it. I hope you're having the most wonderful week, and I can't wait to talk to you again next time. Bye.